Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Go, Paula.
She's the most casual, one of the coolest cats.
Yep,
laid back. Ever been involved.
She is
with.
Cool.
But she crossed the line today from cool to a little spacey when she drove by our exit. Because she's unfamiliar with the path to work, apparently.
She was blaming T-Dot. She said something was different.
McGinnis said, blame them. They moved the exit.
They moved the exit.
So I now expect her to show up 20 minutes early every day out of shame.
Which isn't a bad thing.
Coach Mac, yes. You watch a lot of film. I need to know how the Bills beat Minnesota. As we go into week 5, how did the Bills get it done against that Vikings defense? This offense, this Bills offense that on paper is just not good.
First of all, it looked to me like, I may be wrong, but probably not, that the Vikings were looking at the Thursday night game on the West Coast. To me, it's what it looked like. I mean, when you start watching.
Snap out of that, though, when you're a better team along the way.
Yeah, don't
you snap
out of it? It shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen in the National Football League, but it looked to me like it did. It looked to me like the Vikings early on, and again, this was very uncharacteristic of a Mike Zimmer defense. It looked like they were very uninterested. Hmm. You know, it looks like they're very casual, and they were really casual about the quarterback. You know, this quarterback, again, he's a rookie. I mean, we worked together, Jonathan, during the draft, and we vetted him. You know, we talked about what he was. You know, it's an extremely raw talent, but there's a lot of talent there. But don't ever forget, this guy can run, and he can move. And it looked to me like Minnesota completely disregarded the fact that this guy can move, all right? And he hurt him with his legs early. And then, plus, the Minnesota defense had two really bad penalties in that first drive. It gave him 25 yards. You know, and then Allen just took off, you know, running several times. I mean, hurdled Anthony Barr in the middle of the field, looked like Edwin Moses, you know, going for the 400. He did. He really did. And to me, Minnesota never really looked like they had. You know, you can tell, all of you guys have watched a lot of tape, and, you know, I have too. And you can tell on the film, just body language. I'm a big body language guy in sports, especially. And you should be. I mean, you only play 16 of these things in the National Football League. You play once a week. You have 5 days to get ready. And every one of them is so important. You should be ready to play. And you can kind of tell when the energy level is not there. I did not see the energy level in Minnesota. I don't think it was a matter of being out-talented at all, because we know what Minnesota has, especially defensively, you know. And so to me, it looked like they thought they might show up and beat the drum and clap and say skull for a while. And then, you know, Buffalo, if you watch the other two games, Jonathan and Paul, if you guys have watched those two, they didn't look very good at all, you know, starting in those two. But those two, I mean, Buffalo came alive. And then what I was impressed by Buffalo, they kept the foot on the gas. You know, they kept the foot on the gas through that game. That's a long answer to the fact that I don't think Minnesota was quite ready mentally for what was getting ready to happen. And you can't let that happen to you in the National Football League, because you've only got 16 weeks.
When Allen wants to run it, is it straight up the middle? Is he just stepping up in the pocket and taking off? How do they move him around?
No, I don't. I mean, first of all, he's jackrabbiting out of there. I mean, it's not any planned type of run. I mean,
one read and gone?
It looks to me like sometimes it's one read and gone. And here's the thing with young players and young quarterbacks especially young quarterbacks with big arms, there's one or two things that they do. They will either drop back, and if the throw's not there, they'll still try to make it because they have such faith in their arm and they were able to get away with it early in their collegiate career. Or what they'll do is, if they've been reprimanded a couple of times for doing that and turning the ball over, then they'll hitch and wait. And once they hitch and wait, it's too late in the National Football League, and then they'll just take off running. And so that, to me, it looks like that's what he did a couple of times. The one time he broke up the middle, I mean, they had outside rushes coming, and they had no rush plan for him. It looked like they were just trying to beat the people in front of them. I mean, there's a difference in rushing an offensive line and rushing a quarterback and then having a rush plan.
Dave McGinnis with us.
His size, the Titans have seen some big quarterbacks. It's kind of the trend. Wentz wasn't going down very easily. They didn't get frustrated with that. How's he done as a big rugged guy?
He is a big guy. He can pull away. He can do those things. And plus, he's fast. I mean, he can eat some stripes up. But he is a big physical quarterback. The guy's 6'5". He's 6'5", 240 plus. I mean, this is a physical athlete.
As a defensive coordinator, and all the staffs you've been on, do you normally want to blitz a rookie quarterback, or do you sit back and allow him to make mistakes based on your coverage?
The first thing you do against a rookie quarterback is you disguise coverages. You disguise coverages, and it's easier. It's harder to disguise the coverage from, say, an Aaron Rodgers, or going back way in the day when I first started against a Joe Montana, because they've seen it all. And you have to hold your hard. It was hard to disguise coverage against Peyton Manning, because he could see it at the last instance and still understand what you're in. You disguise coverages first, because if you disguise coverages against a rookie quarterback, then you put indecision into his mind immediately, and he doesn't have enough experience to immediately snap back and go someplace else with it. Now, when you're blitzing, the thing you got to understand, when you're blitzing a rookie quarterback, if you're blitzing a rookie quarterback, one of two things has to happen. First of all, you better get there, and second of all, anytime you blitz, you understand the thing that comes right behind a blitz is you're in single coverage. And if you're blitzing a rookie quarterback that has a big arm and you're putting your corners in single coverage, especially with individual cuts on the outside, if you're not getting home, and I'm not talking about sagging him, if you're not making him uncomfortable getting off a point quickly, well, then a big-armed rookie quarterback, single coverage is the easiest coverage to beat in the National Football League. Because it's one-on-one, and especially now the way the rules are. Downfield, you know, that's the easiest thing. The first thing you do is you disguise coverages. The second thing you do is you disguise your pressures, okay, coming off of those coverages, so that he doesn't know how to set the coverages. And if he doesn't have an offensive center that is really good at re-pointing the mic and resetting protections, then that's when you get after him.
Can you disguise things based on linebacker depth?
Oh, absolutely. You do big time. When people first started playing Tampa 2 defense, the biggest tell on a Tampa 2 was that the Mike linebacker always lined up a little deeper than the two backers outside of him, because he has to be the middle runner. You know, basically Tampa 2 is a 3-deep coverage with the Mike being the middle safety. That's what it is, being able to roll the corners up, if you want to get down to the essence of what Tampa 2 was, where that innovation came was from in Tampa when Hardy Nickerson used to be the first guy that ran the middle in Tampa 2. Now what happens is, and so that's the first thing Peyton Manning ever used to look at. When we'd get ready to play Peyton, we'd always have Keith Bullock or whoever our Mike backer was in the middle in a nickel defense. You know, you got to stay at the same depth. You have to stay at the same depth, and that way you have to be able to get out of there quicker. But can you do it? Yes, but to disguise coverages, your back end and your linebackers have to be on the same page. And it's not only depth, Jonathan, it's also width, and it's where you insert. It's how you look, because if the linebackers start to shift too quick, if you're going to drop a safety down either to their right or the left, if they start to line and shift early, that's a tell too. That's as big a tell as it is looking at safeties.
Dave McGinnis is in studio with us. He's presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans.
Buffalo is a very one-sided team. When we come back, I want to ask Dave about what it's like to be part of a one-sided team and how things hold together when one side knows it's got the pressure to carry you and the other side knows it's not keeping up. We'll get to that next.
Midday 180, served up by Wendy's.
Chad Withrow here to tell you that I was blind and I can now see. That's all thanks to Loden Vision Centers. 2015 vision. That's what I'm talking about with Loden Vision Centers. It worked for me, and it's a quick and easy, painless process. Loden Vision is the premier eye LASIK provider of Middle Tennessee. You can see for yourself why Loden Vision was voted best eye LASIK by the Toast of Music City and the Nashville Scene Awards for 9 years running. And as a listener of 104.5 The Zone, you can get a free screening by simply texting the word sports to 615-615. Eye LASIK is quick. Pain-free. You're going to be back to work the next day after surgery. Find out more right now by texting sports to 615-615. The only regret you're going to have after going through this eye LASIK procedure is the regret of not doing it earlier. Take advantage of this now. Get rid of those contacts. Get rid of those glasses, especially if you suffer from eye allergies like I did. Take advantage of the free screening by simply texting the word sports to 615-615. That's sports to 615-615 at Loden Vision Centers.
Hot. The challenge there for the weak side, not feeling pressure like it's got to live up. Does it provide different kind of challenges?
Yes, it does. I mean, it's a great question too, Paul, because it's real. That challenge, first of all, if it becomes, you know, very distinct and it becomes very pronounced, that's on the coaching staff, because you can't, you know, you can never let it get divided as to where one group's not holding up their end of the bargain. They may not be as good. And I've been on teams like that. You know, a lot of the teams I've been on have been defensive generated, defensive strength football teams. And you understand that. But at the same time, that's up to the coaches to be able to instruct everybody, to teach everybody how to play complementary football. And that starts with your coaching staff meeting during the week, you know, saying, look, offensively, we're going to struggle against this. These guys are this strong against this. Here's what our opponent's defense is going to do. So here's what we're going to try to do offensively. We're going to play a field position game. Look, punting game, special teams, here's what we have to do. Now, defensively, we've got to be if you're playing two really good defensive teams are playing one another, you have to emphasize, you have to be the best defense on the field that day, and you may take a few more chances defensively to try to generate field position for your offense if they're struggling, to move the ball, those types of things. But it has to generate from the coaching staff, and you have to find a way to make it work during the ball game. And then, but it starts during the week. It doesn't just say, I mean, the worst thing you can do, I never understood it, and all the good coaches never say it. You never come to the sideline, and your sideline adjustment during a game, if one side is struggling, is say, play harder. That's not an adjustment. You know, that's not an adjustment. That's not coaching. You know, that's just talking. Okay, but it starts during the week, and it's a very good question, because it's legitimate. It's legitimate throughout this league, and the best coaching staffs are able to instruct their teams during the week, game plan by game plan by game plan. How are you going to win this week? How are we going to win this week? You don't win every week the same.
Other than Allen at quarterback this week, who's the player you would key on if you're composing the game plan this week?
Well, first,
who concerns you?
Well, first of all, To me, Kelvin Benjamin's a big target. I mean, a big target. And the way the rules are nowadays, I mean, combat catches, jump balls downfield. I mean, that's a big target. Zay Jones has got some speed. Clay, the tight end, has got some route running and catching ability. And plus, they have not used McCoy, or Ivory at all very much. And to me, Brian Daboll's their offensive coordinator. He's got to find a way to work that into it. And you work that into it some ways. You've got to be able to work that into it. You've got to be able to do something screen-wise, misdirection-wise. You've got to do some of those types of things. But that has to generate from the coaching staff also. You know, if I'm, a defense playing this football team, the first thing I'm gonna make sure that my players understand is this quarterback has an arm. He's inexperienced, but he also can move, can run. So let's try to keep his off-schedule plays to a minimum and then take away one element of it. If they want to start using McCoy and Ivory and they want to try to do something to shorten the game and protect him, let's make sure they can't get that part of their game going, and then I'll take my chances with the receivers.
Defensively, Buffalo has some players. Let's start with the youngest, Tremaine Edmonds, who you loved in the draft process. You were talking about how we vetted Josh Allen. It took you just a few games to know that you would have drafted Tremaine Edmonds. He's played I think he's played every snap of the season.
Every snap, Jonathan, and they're playing him in the middle too. And what impresses me about watching him in the middle, the biggest thing a young linebacker has coming into this league, I've coached a lot of them in 30 plus years, is their eyes. Because what they are seeing behind the line of scrimmage in a National Football League game is so much different than what they look at in college football. Because in college football, everybody runs the same thing, and there's not a whole lot guard ball triangle stuff that you have to be dialed into. And plus, a lot of times, I mean, you can physically be better than somebody and just get ahead of a block, not even reading it, just being able to run to where the football is. His eyes have been so good, and where I see that in a young linebacker in the league is when they're in zone coverage. If you see a young linebacker that's able to trigger off a directional delivery key of a quarterback and be in passing lanes and get their hands on balls in zone. But not only they don't have to intercept it, just close windows. And close windows by being able to trigger off of directional delivery keys. And when I say that, here's what I mean. a quarterback, when he drops back to throw, especially in zone defense, is going to go through a progression of reads, okay? Where his shoulder is pointing, normally, that's the directional key. His delivery key is when the front hand comes off the ball. If you're breaking when the front hand comes off the ball, that means you understand pattern recognition. You can get there, and there's Keith Bullock was the best at that I've ever coached, ever. He was a tremendous directional delivery key guy. Plus, he had long arms, and he was a fast twitch player. If you have that, you can see that on tape. Now, if you wait until the ball's thrown and break in zone defense, most of the time there are open spaces and there are soft spaces in zones. It's going to be a completion. Then you better be a tackler. This guy's a great directional delivery key breaker, and plus he's long. He's a long athlete that can run. I really liked him in the draft, and they really like him up there too.
So it's a combination of combining the routes that you know with the delivery key. It's kind of an equation there. If he's pointing this way or it looks like he's going medium, the most likely route here given where that guy is.
No. Great, and we're right. You're right with it, Paul, and that's the teaching progression of it. Now, you teach shoulder angles also. You know, if the shoulder's down, the front shoulder's down, you know, that's going to be an intermediate throw. You know, if the shoulder's a little bit elevated, I mean, you can tell when somebody's going to launch a ball because the shoulder, you know, tilts back like this. We always call it where the gun port went. I mean, that's just the way it works. And that's what you teach and look at. But route recognition is this. It's not necessarily the route that you're trying to cover. It's the complementary route. Like if I'm sitting there looking at a backfield, you got me coaching now, Paul. If I'm sitting there looking at a backfield and I know there's a two, I'm on the two receiver side, and I know that back swings right now, and I've got a number split on my single receiver side. If I see him swing, they're not going to run a swing with a back and run an out with that receiver to that side. That's two people in the same area. So as soon as I look out there and I see I've got a number split and I've got a back that's cheated out wide and he swings, I know I'm getting an in cut by that guy. Now I'm going to spot drop, and then I'm going to match the pattern. But I'm going to know it by route recognition. Just like if I'm watching two crossers come underneath me, most of the time in this league, if you're working with cut splits and you've got two crossers coming underneath you, I'm talking about a middle linebacker now, you got two crossers coming underneath you, there's a route coming in behind you. Then by film study, remember those three passes Keith Bullock intercepted in New Orleans when he's Mr. Monday Night? Those were deep daggers, and they came off of two crossers in the front. We worked it all week. You know, we worked it all week. He said, Mac, I'm going to get these. If I get these crossers, I'm just running to that interception point. And I said, yeah, that's a good plan. You know,
and Breeze threw it right to him.
Three times.
Who's the best guy or the best couple guys on this team reading the directional delivery signals?
Well, I'll tell you who's really getting good at it is Jayon Brown. And he's been like that from the start because of this. He's got fast twitch. He's fast twitch. He can cover. He could do it at UCLA. These types of linebackers, Paul, that are coming into the league now, I mean, that's why Tremaine Edmonds is so special, because most of your guys that are smaller foot fire guys at the second level as linebackers are your lighter, smaller linebackers. I mean, Edmonds is a big dude that can move, but Jayon Brown is a great trigger guy, and he's been like that from the start, and he's getting even better because he's learning pattern recognition, and Tyrone McKenzie is doing it. You and I stood together during practice one day, and I told you the way Tyrone was working on some route recognition stuff with him, and then Wesley Woodyard, because he's been in the league for so long, he's extremely smart at it.
Coach Mack will be in the booth with Mike Keith this Sunday, noon kickoff. The award-winning Titans Countdown begins at 11 a.m. right here on 104.5 The Zone. Coach Mack, thank you.
Thanks. Hey, guys. I wish we could talk about some ball.
I know. I wish you knew what you were talking about.
Fakes it. The guy gives us two good segments faking it. He's like Meg Ryan in When Harry Met Sally.
I like that movie.
Coach Mack is our Meg Ryan on Midday 180.
Meg Ryan, Midday 180.
First time he's ever been compared to her.
Yeah, probably.
Presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Dave Poyle is coming up as the Predators open the season tonight in New York. Precision Air is your home comfort specialist. 615-834-3777 is their number. 834-3777. They're online at precisionairtn.com. They will ensure that you're fully informed on the options that you have for your scenario at home with the HVAC unit. If repair is an option, you'll know about it. If it makes sense to replace your old inefficient unit, they're going to give you that option as well. They team up with Daikin, the largest heating and cooling manufacturer in the world, one of the only heating and cooling units made in the United States. And the bottom line is Precision Air lets you make the decision based on your unique situation. No big sales tactics, no pressure, no quotas. The technician for Precision Air who comes out to your home, non-commissioned. That means they have no incentive to sell you something that you simply don't need. Precision Air, you can join their Comfort Club Express. That's free for a limited time. Members receive discounted seasonal tune-ups, priority service to the front of the line, repair discounts, and much more. Comfort is a must, so call the experts you trust. Call 615-834-3777. Online at precisionairtn.com. Your local Daikin Comfort Pro.